everyone, and welcome to episode 55 of Radio Radar, a little late episode, but for a good reason. I'm Hollander Cooper, and here with me is...
Henry Gilbert!
Greg Henniger!
Zach Betka!
Ryan Intelligent. And, sorry, it's really fucking late on Friday, and we're all kind of stupider than normal. We're recording this late on Friday, but we can't post it until Monday at 7 a.m., because we're going to talk about Grand Theft Auto 5, and my review will have gone up by then, but I will be in the sky in an airplane while everyone in the comments calls me an asshole. But before we get to that, we gotta go over the top 7, which was written by our own Zachary-san.
Hello.
That's an appropriate response, which is the top 7 lies games tell us about medicine and staying alive. So what made you decide to write this specific top 7?
I was actually pre-med for a single semester in college.
Nice.
Wow. So he's got the skinny and all the details.
So you're essentially a doctor.
Kind of a doctor.
Yes.
So, yeah.
I've got this thing on my back. Can you look at that later?
It's a nipple.
Yes. But the one thing I learned was about defibrillators and how... shows and video games use them wrong, so I was like, maybe there's other stuff.
So that's number 7.
Turns out there are 7.
Yeah, and that's number 7. Defibrillation doesn't really raise the dead like it does in video games.
It does not, no.
So what does it do?
So
Dr. Zach?
Well, it's called arrhythmia. It's when your heart has a little pitter-patter and it's not really in sync. And defibrillator resets it so that the electrical impulse can keep going. But if there is no electrical impulse, if you're dead... then there's nothing to reset, so you're just shocking the dead heart. And then they're dead more, and it's sad.
That's what a pacemaker does too, right?
Heart.
Yeah.
Pacemaker gives you a little zing every once in a while.
So you can really choose between either? Is that how that works? Well, like
a pacemaker?
Oh, I'd prefer, please, a lethal shock to my body. Not lethal. It'd be the opposite of lethal. A mildly uncomfortable shock.
It's emergency people that use the defibrillator for emergency things.
Pacemakers are installed in your body. Like,
right. They're little robots that are like nanomachines.
Downloaded.
So in video games like Battlefield, you carry around a defibrillator, and when somebody is shot to death, you jump, you straddle their corpse.
I would argue that actually what you're doing is there is this bleeding out period in which the screen tells you that you are incapacitated and you're about to respawn, but maybe you're not actually dead until the timer reaches zero, and then you're back at the respawn.
So you're laying on the ground.
You could technically
lousy squirming. With bullet holes.
Yeah,
and somebody around. Is still going to straddle your bleeding. Your body is soaking wet with blood. Jeez. You're going to take electricity, pulse it through their body, and they're just going to go like, yeah, I'm ready.
It shoots all the shrapnel
bullets,
out of their body,
flying out.
It sews up all their wounds, restores any blood they've lost, and then they're on their way.
I just assume everybody's dying of a heart attack.
That's how defibrillators work. It is science.
Yeah. All right. Speaking of science, what's number 6 on this list? And it kind of rolls into the same thing.
Oh, me.
Yeah.
Sorry.
You wrote the top 7. We're holding out for you.
Here we go. Internal bleeding should have killed nearly every video game hero by now.
So... what exactly is it? And I know plenty about external bleeding. I do it all
That's
the
fair.
Time.
That's fair.
For fun, mostly.
Yeah, yeah. Just bloodletting.
Today would
thing.
Be a good day to rupture my liver.
Yeah. So what's internal bleeding, and why would video game characters have all died from it?
So the nice nurses that I interviewed told me that if it's not in the veins or the arteries, then it's not helping. Not in veins, arteries, and it's not helping. So if you're internal bleeding, either through bruises or rupturing of the organs, as we heard, blood is just kind of pooling around your diaphragm or in your legs or just kind of everywhere, and it's not doing anything. It's not carrying oxygen to anywhere of your body.
Which, as it turns out, is a very important purpose of blood.
Yeah, so and what usually causes internal bleeding?
A swift kick to the gut.
Okay.
could do the trick.
Honestly, like a bruise, because it's technically considered internal bleeding. Anything that...
you could get internal bleeding from, like, a broken rib, too, right? Like
you can if it punctures something, yeah.
So anytime any video game character has sort of, like, jumped for a ledge and missed and then done, like, a cinematic thing where they, like, kind of, like, claw at the wall but bounce off of 17 things and smack into the ground and go, like, oh, I'm going to feel
Lara
that
Croft
in the
would
morning.
Have died
yeah,
seconds.
It's like when Lara Croft did the little parachutey thing and she gets reamed by that tree limb. That is internal bleeding
in
a nutshell.
And the correct response is not just to kind of,
like pull the thing out. To go to number five on the list, you're going to die if you're not near a doctor when you're impaled by something.
Yeah, so it just sucks if you're impaled by something, unfortunately. Can't leave it in, can't pull it out. You might as well just die.
Lara Croft tumbling down, lands on on rebar that is just sticking out of the ground,
like,
for no real way.
Into the game.
Right into her back. She's dead.
She's basically dead.
Well, no, even if it didn't hit any organs, she's probably dead.
Well, yeah, because it goes in, right? It goes out, which hits more stuff. And that didn't look too sterile. Like,
it's in the bottom of a dirty cave.
Yeah.
That had
the opposite of sterile.
Corpses.
It had corpses that had been hanging over it for who knows how long.
Yeah.
That is a problem.
And then she immediately swims through dirty water.
Yeah, she did.
I would love maybe the same nurses that you asked for this article. We should get those nurses on video to just sit there and watch us play a game and call out like, oh no. So there's dysentery right there. That's just gonna cause
that would
problem.
Be awesome.
So my mom's a nurse.
Is
and,
she?
She used to tell us stories at the dinner table, not about internal bleeding or impalement, but she did often speak about patients who would come in with giant boils and cysts all over their body, and she would describe in detail at the dinner table about cleaning out those things and packing them full of gauze. Yeah. So there's that. Oh, come on.
Geez.
No. That is the worst possible time to play that sound effect. Oh.
They're just cleaning out the cysts. So.
Did she tell you any funny stories about people who put things in their butts?
No. No.
And your mom held out for the best stories.
Yeah, I know.
No, but interviewing these nurses, they had a lot to say, and they were very desensitized.
Yeah.
And I wasn't. Well, so it was uncomfortable. Yeah.
So in a video game, I didn't realize at the time, but this article really each one flows together. So in a video game, when Lara Croft is impaled by a freaking stick gets shoved through her arm, her answer is to tear a piece of her pants off and tie a knot on her arm, making a tourniquet. Would that number four on this list be the correct way to handle that situation?
No, in two ways. Because if she was actually doing a real tourniquet, then she would stop blood flow 100%, causing her arm to die from malnutrition in a few hours.
Okay.
So either she's armless, or the tourniquet doesn't
work. Are you saying
work.
As in, like, harmless with a British accent? Because that's sort of Henry's thing, is the British accent.
It would be weird, like, halfway through the game, her arm just started to get gangrene. And she couldn't use it anymore.
Yeah. So first of all, so if she would have done that correctly, she'd be armless.
Yes, but she did it incorrectly, which didn't solve anything except for a Band-Aid.
So essentially, video games use tourniquets like Band-Aids.
They use them as, like, fashion statements. It's like, oh, yeah, tourniquet. And then
this makes them look like
what's a real tourniquet even like?
It's like a rubber band type of thing.
Yeah, it's like an elastic thing where it has a corkscrew. I'm trying to describe this for our audio audience.
Yes.
But it's a thing that goes around your arm or anything. It's a corkscrew that you corkscrew and it clicks into place. Yeah, so not
a cloth.
It's an extreme measure.
So I guess just the tying it off. Of like a bandage or something, it's just in place of like applying pressure to. Well,
yeah, exactly. Like once it clots, then that bandage doesn't matter at all.
Well, didn't you say once it clots, like, so Lara Croft will tie a bandage to her arm and then leave it there indefinitely, which didn't you mention that that's even worse because that would just be like a dirty bandage on a wound?
Yeah, so dirty bandage on a wound, and also if she tied it even a little tight, it would stop an amount of blood flow, which then would just, her arm would just get worse.
So even if she was like, she kind of knew what she was doing, the fact that she never changed that bandage probably
it got super janky.
You know, I knew someone who lost an arm, actually.
Really?
In an industrial accident. They were someone's little brother who, like, went to work with him at this factory, and just his left arm got stuck under a press and, like, he couldn't remove it in time. Just wham.
Wow, way to kill the mood, Henry.
He lived life to the fullest after that. Like, he was a happy guy. He didn't let it get him down. Same with the other guy I knew who got shot in the face with a shotgun and lived.
You knew him?
Yeah. So we should all stop being known by Henry right away.
By knowing, I definitely know me biblical knowledge.
In case there was any confusion, I biblically knew him.
Well, you know what that means. Anyways. But no, I also, I knew him at, I met him at a party once, and everybody was just like, oh, man, it's great you didn't die. Oh, your face.
Congratulations. Congratulations on not dying. It would probably have been better if you did, but keep on keeping on.
You survived, and that's great.
Yeah.
We love you.
Number three. Number
but
three
not
on
the
list.
Biblical sense.
Talking while dying isn't really going to sound graceful in any way. So I think the biggest offender is probably Assassin's Creed in this kind
oh,
of
yes.
case.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, or any JRPG.
Yeah.
Any JRPG.
So Assassin's Creed's the most notorious because Ezio or Altair or Connor, which when you actually use them in that succession, Connor seems even more like a ridiculous name, will stab someone in the neck with a blade and then stand there talking to him.
Slowly.
So, for a good, like, 30 yeah. seconds.
So what would the conversation actually be like?
If I had some water, I could demonstrate, but I don't.
Oh, stop.
Thank you.
Enjoy that pus
you,
from
you be Connor.
Cysts.
Yeah.
You be Connor.
Okay.
I'll be the dying guy.
All right, so... Why did you do this? Where are the Templar? Resquiesca de Pasca.
That was beautiful.
You got a lot of information out of
it. We did it. We were better than Assassin's Creed 3.
Hooray.
That was a weird applause.
When it comes to that conversation, that I mean factually correct. So what's the issue with talking while dying?
Right, and so if you get stabbed in the neck, then it's just whistling as air passes through your throat.
It'd just be like, where are the Templars? It would sound like trying to have a conversation with R2-D2.
I'm just imagining somebody bleeding to death and staring at me making that noise.
That was another really creepy thing. The guy that played Saruman in Lord of the Rings, what's his name, Christopher Lee?
Oh, yeah, I heard that story too, yes.
So he gets stabbed in the back by Wormtongue, right? On the top of the Orthanac. Nerd Patrol.
Get out of here, nerd.
I guess as an actor, he was like, I know what it sounds like when someone gets stabbed in the back. Like,
no.
Yeah.
No, that's what he said. He said it back in his throat slit. And he said his throat slit, someone's throat being slit doesn't sound like that.
No, he getting stabbed in the back, you hear the air leaving the lungs.
All right.
And everyone was like, how do you know this? And he's like, I do. So Peter Jackson was like, all right.
he fought in World War II. He could have seen that someplace.
When I stabbed 100 Germans in the back, they all whistled at me as they died. Peter Jackson.
But the other side to not the violent death, this is much of a downer, is
unlike the rest of this list, which has just been a rocket time.
It's this like haggard, rapid breathing as your body tries to get oxygen as you're dying, and it's not working, and it's more and heavy and forceful. And they were telling me it's like a tornadic and chain filled existence.
Jesus Christ!
No,
that's a very dramatic description, but I totally love it. Tornadic and chain.
Fine, I have a better sound effect to describe what it would probably sound like. Just a car not starting. Just trying. Yeah. Sticking with it.
Well, is it true that you poop yourself when you die, too?
You know what? I actually thought that going in, and I was trying to, tell them to tell me that.
You should have just straight up asked. Hey, that's honestly is the best policy.
Well, I did. At the end, I was like, okay, fine. Do they poop themselves? And she was like, actually, no.
That's disappointing.
Right? Yeah, because, before a violent
death. I can't use that
excuse
anymore.
You can, urinate or poop in fear or vomit. But once you die, the actual, resting state of your sphincters is closed.
Huh.
And so once you die, everything just...
Well, that's
one of life's greatest mysteries answered before our very ears.
I always figured that... That muscle then would relax and it just all goes.
So actually, you're expending energy to relax the muscle.
Huh.
I never freaking knew that. Holy shit.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
I hope I vomit right before.
I'm so scared.
I mean, if you pay me enough money, I can make sure these things happen in the order
that
you want.
In movies where a mugger pulls a gun on someone, they go like, please don't hurt me. Never see that in movies.
Well, you never know.
Well, I have heard that you poop yourself when you give birth.
Well, I mean, you're pushing every muscle in your body, I'd have to imagine. I've only given birth twice before. So.
Aiden and Caleb, and poop, correct?
Aiden and Noel.
Noel.
My two angelic children.
Okay.
Who I haven't seen in 3 years.
It must be rough.
Because their mom's a jerk. It's not funny, Greg.
It is funny.
It's a tragic
part
of my life.
Number two on this list. Your amnesiac hero is more likely to forget the future than the past. So,
yes.
Amnesiac.
Video games are full of characters that can't remember their history.
Total plot device.
It is the beginning of every JRPG.
Yeah.
Or morning, son. Who are you? You didn't know? Here's $10. Go to the fair today. Maybe you'll figure something out about yourself.
Well, I can see from a writing standpoint that, like, the amnesia just seems like a gift for RPGs because it's like you start knowing nothing and people have to explain things to you.
Yeah.
And then it's a great excuse to have, like, a third act twist to be like, this is who you really were.
You have the excuse to be like, huh, why are there two moons and why are we praying to them? Well, it's because the moons gave birth to our planet. And it's like, huh, I never knew that. I never knew this information that everyone in the world except for me knew.
Who are the parties in this war that is being fought right now?
Oh, well, thank goodness you asked. It's the Crystallis and the Crystolis.
Very different. Very distinct. One wears red, one yellow.
Yes. Though they both worship crystals. This is every Final Fantasy game.
But real amnesia, what is that?
Well, so the amnesia that we're talking about where you forget certain aspects of your life, that could happen. That's retrograde amnesia from PTSD or something else that's traumatic. Mm-hmm. So if I, for instance, I got in a car accident when I was in high school and I forgot the car accident. Like, I remember getting hit and I remember being in the hospital.
Are you telling us a true story?
Oh, this is real life. Okay. Yeah, sorry.
IRL.
IRL, Zach got in a highway rollover. It sounds
sound
like that.
Hold on.
Oh my God. Here's.
here's I don't Zach have an is, actually good sound effect for
here
this.
Here, Zach is telling us a very traumatic thing that he was obviously traumatic because he fucking forgot about it, and you are making sound effects.
I'm sorry. I'm stopping. Start over.
We wouldn't have known you.
You have
if
to
you
start
had
over.
Died.
I apologize.
Starting over. Got in a highway rollover in high school.
That was uncomfortable.
I'm sorry. My hands are off the keyboard.
I forgot it. It's gone. Like, truly. That's called retrograde amnesia, but there's anteriograde or anterograde amnesia, which is where you're unable to form new memories, which honestly, and somebody said this in the comments, that'd be a really cool plot device for a video game. Just kind
like
of...
Like Memento style, make it go backwards?
Yeah. Unable to form new memories is kind of what you do.
Memento is a cool movie, but I saw a documentary of someone who really had that, and it seemed like the worst hell you could ever be in, because like he only knew the last 15 minutes of anything. And
he can watch the same episode of Adventure Time over and over again.
Well, his wife would just keep showing up.
There was 50 first dates.
Yeah.
Like, his wife would meet him in his room, and he'd just get very angry and frustrated with her. He's like, what are you talking about? We were just at dinner or something like that. And then she would leave, and then she could explain it to him, and then leave, and then come back, and he's like, "What are you talking?" Like he was, it's like
tragic.
The worst thing.
Every time we talk about a terrible thing, you find a way to make it worse, and I applaud you for that.
Don't you think that's stupid? That stupid Adam Sandler movie that did it, like they just skip over how horrible that was.
Not only that, she wakes up in a boat.
Yeah, and it's like a video. It would not be worth it.
I'd be like, fuck, I can't ever do anything except sit here and explain to you how I've met you.
Yeah, but
just because she could watch a VHS tape every morning.
That
like,
would explain it.
Oh, here's everybody.
It's either that or she just sits at home being depressed.
Well,
she wouldn't be depressed.
No. Have you seen the movie?
Yes.
Every day she goes and it's just like the happiest day. She goes, I'll have my banana pancakes this morning.
And then fucking Adam Sandler ruins it for her by putting her on a boat from which she can never escape.
Didn't he knock her up too? And so she wakes up, she's like, why am I pregnant?
She had kids. So.
Okay, we're fine.
You have to imagine that like the beginning was fine and after the kid was like, wow, I have a kid, that's great. But that period where she just like wakes up like, I'm a 17-year-old. Oh my God!
Now, I'd have to imagine too, he gets fed up with it at a point and he's like, fuck this. And he just like leaves her on a boat in the ocean and is gone, and she would never be able to do
anything.
He would
cheat on her every single day in front of her. There'd be nothing to stop him.
I'll leave her alone for a week and then I'll come back and it won't even matter.
Oh, that'd be great.
That's true.
He leaves her like 10 years and just comes back. He's just like, hey, what's up? You told me you
could
do this.
You don't remember me anyway.
Yeah, it's all good.
This is tragic.
Number one, if you are badly wounded, you'll never get completely better.
This is the one that she pressed every time he asked a question. She's like, did you know that you're never going to get better, ever? And I was like, I got that. Like, we're on the same page. Let's talk.
What about stem cells? Let's take a video game example. Take it. Let's say Nathan Drake gets thrown out of a train, smashes his ribs, and breaks his leg. How long until he's at 100%?
Never. It's a misconception where it's like bones break and then they regrow stronger. False. It's totally false. It's actually easier to break a bone at the same spot where you broke it before because it's compromised.
God, he'd be like made of glass.
Was that always true about if you shave more, it'll come back darker?
I've looked into
thicker?
That and no.
Yeah, I heard that.
Because
bullshit.
So apparently it's more along the lines of when you shave for the beginnings of that, the actual like direction it comes out of your face at first makes it look like that, but you're not actually making it come back faster or fuller.
So I've been furiously shaving my entire life for naught. Now, what have I done?
Oh, you've been shaving so hard. It's like one day when I stop shaving.
Just grow a beard. I'm just like shaving off skin because I have no hair to shave. My life.
Same goes for pubes.
So let's continue.
Again.
I know a guy.
Henry makes it worse.
Did you know? Puts one leg up on the table.
Well, that's the, yeah, you never really recover.
No, unfortunately.
I always wonder in games like in Batman, the Batman games, like, is he really doing someone a favor by choking them out until they go unconscious? Because, like, concussions, they're, you know, as the NFL has taught us, concussions are pretty serious.
Yeah, it's like, I'm not, it's like he'll go up to somebody and somebody will be like, please don't hurt me, I'll tell you anything. And he'll be like, I already know enough. And then he smashes him against the wall. And it's like, and that guy just lost
internal
like 8 years of his
bleeding in their cerebrum
and
then they're dead.
There are no doctors in Arkham City other than Hugo Strange. And he is not going to go around patching up fucking homeless criminals that Batman has beat, that has given information. Like, he is leaving them, as you described, he's pretty much leaving them to die with a clear, like, I'm Batman and I didn't do anything wrong mind.
Well, Batman even has those extreme takedowns where he just, like, snaps someone's leg. Just like, turn, snap, you're down.
Yeah.
And then just leaves them on the floor.
Just like, bleeding to death.
Yeah.
They have just internal bleeding and they're never going to be better.
Yeah. So that's unfortunate. So every lackey that you mow down, they're down for the count.
That's a shame. Well, I mean, they're lackeys, so I'm not that upset. But
they knew what they were doing when they took the job.
Yeah.
Did they?
I tell myself that. I sleep better at night.
So that's it for the top 7 lies games tell us about medicine and staying alive. You can check out a new top 7 every week on GamesRadar.com, including the one that's going up today, because this is going up on Monday, the top 7 most violent video games.
Oh, good.
Yes. In honor of Grand Theft Auto, which we're going to be talking about soon. But first, we're going to take a break and talk about a new Vita redesign. So stay tuned. Welcome back to segment 2 of Radio Radar. Let's jump into the Sony news. Henry, Vita redesign. Do you feel like a sucker for getting the old one?
No, because I'm hearing the screen is a little better, and it's just 1 hour. I hear the battery life's only 1 hour better. So
the screen on the original Vita
is
better.
OLED versus regular LED.
Yeah, but so Cooper and I both were up at 11 p.m. Sunday night going like, well, I hear there's a Sony telecast or something. Wonder what that'll be. We turn it on.
Might as well watch it for the 45 minutes we assume it'll take place.
Yeah, it's directly Japanese broadcast, but it's being live translated, which was like the translators were so fucking bad.
Oh, yeah. You keep talking, I'm going to try to find that.
But we started watching it, and I think it's going to start with like, here's boring Vita stuff, a Vita sizzle roll. And they immediately go like, it's a new system. There's 6 colors. Here it is. Boom. Like, whoa. Like, it's 15% smaller, has hour longer battery life, comes in like these 6 colors, including one that basically looks like it's brown or like cactus green, like a weird,
weird.
Almost like avocado, I suppose.
That's nice.
That's an unattractive color.
Yeah, I guess it's Japanese.
Pistachio
like
color.
I don't know if this is the right clip. It is.
He is not our colleague. The police is us seeking the ADPS. He is now on the run. He will prove it. We have begun our search. The defect of CDOS. What's happening? You are unprotected. We have been giving you alerts.
Okay.
Do you need help? I don't need it.
That was really traumatic.
It's been violated by viruses. Wake up. Rise.
So yeah, we got to watch fucking three. Was it like 3 hours?
2 hours.
2 hours of that.
Oh,
that
boy.
That was a Watch Dogs trailer, by the way.
And there's one part in this where I can't find it, where I wish I could find it, but it's just like some people talking and it's just, can you hack it? Yes. Because he's translating everybody at the same time.
Yeah, that's the... Honestly, they shouldn't have had them translating the trailers. They should have just been like, figure it out for yourselves, guys. We're not doing dramatic
And then the end of the trailer, they just...
Security in these buildings.
They just start, like, they're like, fuck it, yeah, Japanese people, you can read this. Right. Let's just have this in English.
Yeah, that's even weirder. I wonder how well Watch Dogs will do in Japan. I'm curious. But anyway, yeah, so they started the thing, and it was live translated. And there was then it just had this lull where it was like the Vita games were first like, here's all the Monster Hunter clones.
There was a section where they only talked about Monster Hunter clones for a solid 20 minutes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think as Henny and I briefly talked about this a little bit earlier today, I think at this point we have to accept that. I mean, that's just a genre of its own now. Monster Hunter genre. What else would you call that?
And that genre is kind of
all
open
the shitty
world,
parts of MMOs.
Yeah, kind of open world game about grinding and farming for marginally better loot without really good online, just serviceable online multiplayer. Yeah.
Some people swear by it. But then I think the funniest moment came when they said, all right, 100 games are over. Time for some new games. And then a big, like, pink and yellow screen came up, and it was just Japanese anime schoolgirls dancing.
Yeah, I was like, in the other room, and I had the volume up loud so I can hear. Not loud, but I had volume up so I could hear it. And I just hear, like, all right, on to some new games. And I run in and maximize the screen, and I just see a panty shot. And I'm like, oh, I shouldn't be so angry. I should have seen this coming.
Yeah. So then it just had a bunch of, like, Japan-only stuff. Like
we should say the new Vita is $200.
$200 yen.
So that'll probably...
It has not been announced for America yet.
Yeah, 200 yen. It'll probably be announced for America next week. Kind of worse screen, a little bit better battery life. It looks a little smaller and thinner.
Oh, sorry, 20,000 yen.
20,000 yen.
Yeah, a little smaller, a little better. Yeah. I'm going to stick with my system even if it comes out
here. The OLED screen is so nice on that system.
Yeah,
getting
I love it.
Worse screen does not make it worth it. So yeah, they rambled about a bunch of just hyper Japanese games.
There was a new Suda game which was presented by like...
Oh, I need to find that clip too.
Suda and the new owner of the company he works for, like, they did like a two-person stand-up routine to joke about their game to introduce it.
What's the other company?
Gung Ho. The president of Gung Ho.
I heard about this and that it was very weird and bizarre and not funny.
Well, because the translator wasn't catching the jokes, like, especially, like, I always feel, I'm especially impressed by localized games that make something funny, because jokes are some of the hardest stuff to translate, like,
right.
It's a lot about cultural awareness.
Of course.
And so...
What was the name of the game?
Some kind of name.
Yeah, it's a...
Some kind of name.
No, it's like a person's
Italian
name.
It's an Italian name, like Lillian...
Lily Bertato or something?
Liberace.
Berlocci?
Hold on, we need to find this. This is really important.
This is so
I have no idea.
Important.
Other people, I'll find it. It's Lily Bergamo is the name
Lily
of
Bergamo.
It.
Lily Bergamo. That's right.
So what did Lily, like, can you describe what that trailer even looked like?
It was a cute anime girl fighting a monster, and her outfit seemed to be, a lot of it seemed to be made out of, like, ribbons or something, or, like, white bandages. It was
She's
really just... It was like it was just a still image with words over it, so it wasn't even like gameplay or anything.
I see.
Though the art's done by the same person who did the character designs in Fire Emblem Awakening.
Oh, so, cool. You know, all right. I know this is going to be cool. like a 5 minute aside, but we need to just experience this. Okay.
Thank you. We take up the space for two people here on the podium. I feel rather nervous. My name is Morishita. And my name is Masuda. Now, this is Lily Belgamo. I am Lily, and I'm Belgamo. So, together, we are Lily Belgamo. Thank you.
People applaud that.
Please write down only the name of the Lily Belgamo as an entertainment staff of the game publishers. Allow me to take some time. What? Maybe you are
pausing for a second. This was like fucking 12:30, and Henry and I are ready to just go to sleep. This is an hour and 27 minutes into this thing.
Oh my gosh.
Handed of Akira Nakao, the actor, by my show here. No, let's get serious. Lily Belgamo. Last year, Grasshopper was acquired by Gunho, and this is going to be the first one. Capitalizing on the strength of two entities, we are introducing this. Kosaka Yusuke is responsible for all the artworks, and this
that's
is
what I was talking
pretty
about.
Unique.
So that's good, right?
Yeah, that's really fun.
Well, trying to take advantage of the online performance. No, imagine the Chinese noodle ramen. No, you should not do that.
That was my favorite.
What a temptress.
Supreme action. This is an action game, extreme action game. To be more serious, the world view. The promotion video is very...
They just keep doing that for like another 3 minutes.
What kind of world is it? Maybe difficult for you to understand. Characters, worldviews. We try to leverage on our strength. With originality, we try to offer you the action.
Trying to skip ahead to a...
Well, this is where our strength lies. This companion function, which a platform you can enjoy this game. Year 2014. The season, I cannot say yet. Tokyo Game Show is going to be held this month, and then more details will be given at the Tokyo Game Show. Maybe not.
Oh, burn!
Maybe we can give you an explanation at the Tokyo Game Show. There are 4 days, and if we don't get sick by then, we can give you more details. We work harder. So let's look forward to the Tokyo Game Show. Thank you.
So I don't know why they felt the need to present. Like, we're going to reveal more information at Tokyo Game Show. Just kidding.
Maybe not.
Yeah.
Well, okay. I feel sorry for her in a way. She's having to. They were talking so fast.
Oh, and like, over each other.
Two people talking super fast over each other. She has to translate that on the fly. Say both of the things they're saying, and she doesn't have time to say, like, this guy says this, now this guy says that.
Right.
So it just ends up sounding like nothing. And on top of that, then they're telling jokes really fast. Like,
jokes that do not translate.
I bet they, like, joked about, like, hey, if you see us at Tokyo Game Show, maybe you can ask us a question, and by the fourth day we'll be tired and we might actually slip up and tell you something. They might have said something like that. And then,
oh, yeah.
No,
yeah,
they'll be totally sick.
But instead, it's just like, we're going to be at Tokyo Game Show. Just kidding. We might be too sick by the fourth day. Goodbye. So, yeah, that happened.
Bizarre.
And then Sony announces the PlayStation 4 release date for Japan, and it's February
of 2014.
2014. So I thought that was a crazy thing, but as time goes on, it makes more sense. And we were talking about it in the office because...
Right.
So Sony default wins Japan.
Yeah.
And
if anybody's going to.
Yeah, like. They don't by default win America or Europe. Mm-hmm. So it sort of comes down to, like, if you have $50 million to spend advertising in this year, wouldn't it make sense to kind of, like, you know you're going to win that battle sort of thing. But even so, when's the last time they released hardware like this in the U.S. first?
The PSP Go. That was the only time they've done it before.
Mm.
Every other time, not yeah. So I remember there was a time when, like, the PlayStation 1 came out, like, I think it was like 9 months to a year before, and like the you'd have to importing was a serious deal. Like same with the N64, like it was like 5 months ahead of it in America. But now the dates are closing so much. The Vita was the last one I can remember where it was out in Japan like 2 months ahead of America.
Yeah, it came out in Japan in like mid-December and then America in February.
Which makes sense there because obviously mobile gaming is far more important in Japan.
Mobile, yeah, mobile. I think that's also the sign of that release date is that mobile gaming, handheld gaming is number one there. Like console just keeps shrinking and shrinking.
Somebody was pointing out that like in Japan, I don't know if this statistic is exact, but in Japan, the 3DS sells per quarter what the PS3 has sold pretty much ever in Japan. Like the PS3 in Japan has sold like 10 million or something like that.
Around that.
And the 3DS sells several million every few months.
So then do we think they're pushing back the release date? Because the hardware needs to be done for the U.S. release.
Right.
So just for advertising? Why do we think they pushed it back?
They said it was because they know that if it's going to make a dent in Japan, they need to have some special hardware or software. And there's like Yakuza, which was announced, is probably...
Which will be ready for February.
Yeah, there's a bunch of games that will be ready for February that aren't going to be ready now.
And they also, like, they're a godless nation. They don't have Christmas, so but they don't have that holiday week buying kind of thing. They do have like holidays over Christmas, like or it's more around New Year's. Like these are very vague statements. I am not an expert in Japan, but New Year's Day is a very big holiday there. So, and people, kids like get money from their grandmas on those days. Like it's so. Some big stuff does come out then. Like, I remember Final Fantasy 13. It came out in December in Japan, like 2 months ahead of when it came out in America. Mm. That traditionally does happen. But
yeah. But the end of the press conference, Sony actually surprised us, which I'm saying actually because it's so hard to have something not leak nowadays, with the currently Japan-only PlayStation Vita TV.
I gotta say, I hope this thing comes to the U.S. because I would buy one in a second.
So, you wrote an article about it. Can you describe what it is?
Yeah, so the PS Vita TV is essentially Sony's answer to like Apple TV or Roku. It's a little box that you hook up to your TV. You can stream your entertainment stuff through it, you know, Netflix and Hulu. But also it plays PS Vita games, and it is a PS Vita just without the screen and the controls on it.
Like it has a slot for Vita games.
Yeah, which means you will also have to use the proprietary Vita memory sticks, which kind of sucks, but it does at least come with 1 gigabyte of onboard memory. But still, you use it with like a DualShock 3, and Sony also said they will be patching and support for a PS4 controller later down the road. It's basically a little stream box for like less than $100 that you can play Vita games on. You can download any of the PSN games that also work on a Vita, so PS1 classics, some PS2 games, but not every PS Vita game works on it.
Yeah, they're saying they were missing some.
Yeah, well, because there's no touch interface, and that is in the games.
Or gyroscope, either.
Right, and so games that require that stuff.
Oh, there is.
Big
PS,
games.
The DualShock has pretty much the same gyroscope.
Well, I don't know that it's exactly the same. I have no idea.
But they did say that the PS4 controller is going to work on it, and that thing does have a touchpad. So you'd think that if developers really wanted to, they could.
I wonder how accurate the PS4's touchpad thing
is. It has multi-touch.
So I'd be curious, and maybe that will eventually make for the, like because games like Gravity Rush aren't coming to the PS Vita TV as of now.
Or Tearaway.
Yeah, like there are a lot of like the Vita's biggest games arguably just won't work on the thing. Yeah, but like, still,
certain games never will. Tearaway just can't. But I wouldn't be surprised. So like Lair got eventually patched to have an option of just controller settings.
Yeah.
Partially because they wanted to make it work for remote play. Yeah. So, I mean, if the game like Gravity Rush would work with a 6-axis, it just would.
Yeah.
Well, they could patch it for that.
I guess one of the other things that I'm really excited about, and probably the biggest reason I hope this launches in the U.S., is because if you have a PS4, you can stream it to the PS Vita TV to another TV. So, like, for instance, my PS4 will be hooked up to my big living room TV, but my PS Vita TV would be hooked up to my bedroom TV, which is considerably smaller. But now that I can potentially stream my PS4 to that secondary TV, if my girlfriend's watching it watching something else in the living room, like, that's really awesome, and I'd love to be able to do that.
And especially, I mean, there's a lot of games where I mean, like, if it was like a big RPG, Ni No Kuni kind of game, it's like I would like kind of playing it on the couch, and then I want to go to bed, but I want to play for a little longer, and you just go lay in bed and play it for a few more minutes. It essentially turns. I mean, there's a few more peripherals in the way, but it's sort of the Wii U gamepad only mode.
And I would be, I'm really interested to see what that means years down the road once Sony figures out exactly what they're going to do with Gaikai. Because potentially your Vita TV is now a console that can play almost anything if you're willing to pay the money to do so.
Yeah, they could. That hardware is potentially the most exciting hardware that Sony has announced in years.
Yeah, and in fact, Andy Hardup wrote an editorial about that, which you should read.
Before we even woke up in the morning. That's super interesting. And other big story that came out, the PlayStation 4 apparently is 50% faster than the Xbox One.
Says a source.
I guess we can speak in very broad terms about this. I don't think any of us are hardware experts. But I would also say that long term, this probably doesn't matter much unless you're looking at exclusives for PS4.
Yeah.
Just because, right, it's like the same disparity people talk about when they're talking about games that are available on current-gen consoles but also PC. And at some point, the limitations of every console factors into how the game is designed.
I'll say the only difference is the PlayStation 3 was much faster than the Xbox 360, but third parties didn't take advantage of it because the PlayStation 3 was hell to develop for.
Well, and true, but I also read an article recently that... Again, I don't know for sure how much of this is true. I'm not a hardware expert, but I did read a counter argument that the developer who stated that he noticed the PS4 was significantly faster than the Xbox One also said, in technical terms, the Xbox 360 was indeed the faster of the two consoles of this generation, but. And he made that point to point out that obviously we never saw an Xbox 360 game that looked remotely close to The Last of Us. And he was just trying to say, while technically the hardware limitations of one console might be a little bit higher than another's, really that's not what ultimately will matter a ton. So who knows?
I feel like there are
still
less.
Still just a source. Like, yeah. It's not confirmed that it's 50% faster.
No, but. I mean, you're also seeing that the bad news in both cases is pretty much every developer is confirming that they don't have final code. They don't have final hardware, debug hardware. They don't even have, and that same story, they're like, nobody even has the drivers they need to develop for the consoles yet. They just have, like, they don't have the finalized ones. They have temporary ones. They're 2 months away from releasing, and they still don't have the things they need to actually press the discs.
I would be shocked if that is not the common case for console launches, and probably a very big reason why we don't see a shit ton of launch games every console launch. I have no idea. I've never been in development, so
I mean, I'm speculating. It probably is, and it is worth noting that even that with that information, we are still seeing better launch titles this generation than we saw last.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Yeah. Other big story, Zach. What do you think about Microsoft registering Xbone.com?
And redirecting to Bing.
And redirecting it to Bing. You are our Bing expert.
Am I the Bing expert now?
You kind of are.
I've always been sad about Xbone. I mean...
The name?
Just the name.
We've discussed this before. Like, we've discussed...
I never liked it.
There's no... The problem is, X1 is not a good abbreviation. Just
why?
X and then the number one.
Zone?
Besides the fact that there is already a bunch of, there are already products and computers and a Comcast box called the X1 that is promoted all over.
Okay.
It's just not a really interesting name. There's really no easy abbreviation like X, like three, just 360 or PS3.
You can call it the X1.
Yeah, but are we really going to give Microsoft the gratitude of calling it the one?
I like it better than X-Bone.
Here's why I prefer to use the term X-Bone, because the one sounds too pretentious. I don't want to call it. I feel like I'm a grandmother if I call it, ew, it's the Xbox. But meanwhile, like, X-Bone then is a fun, is everyone knows what you're talking about when you say it.
It's also derogatory.
And in a small way, I think.
I'm perfectly happy just saying Xbox One.
I think that's where we landed, is we kind of have to just go with the full
Xbox
name.
One. Yeah. But also the X-Bone, like, when they're trying to market it as, like, the marketing pitch of the one is such, like, gross to me, and like I have, like, such a negative first sight reaction on it.
And this is this is somebody on staff who has a fucking Windows phone that he uses for achievements. So it's not he's coming at this from a PlayStation 3 fanboy perspective.
So I just want to undercut that branding by saying, oh, no, it's the X-Bone. That's what it is. And popularizing that is funny to me.
I think the popularization of X-Bone came out of how they boned their...
That was one of the reasons.
I feel like that's, well, to me, the only, way it got popular.
Well, no, it got popular because when they announced it, somebody pointed out that there wasn't an easy abbreviation and X-Bone was funny. Yeah. Like, that was day one when they announced Xbox One.
Within, 5 minutes of the Xbox One.
Before we even knew the things that people didn't like about it.
Yeah, but then it became a banner against the Xbox. Yeah.
I think it's just because it's they named it something that's easy to turn into a boner joke. Is sort of where it goes.
Yeah, I wonder when they were throwing around names for it, they never thought about what you could nickname it as. I know some parents who, when they're naming their kids, are like, no, that's going to be
Dick. We can't name him Richard. People are going to call him Dick.
Yeah, so...
And then Microsoft didn't... And apparently Microsoft has said, all the rumored names, Xbox Infinity, all of those were... intentionally leaked by Microsoft, and it's and yet you still went with that. You heard people talking about those names, and you still went with X-Bone.
Not a fan.
And apparently Major Nelson hates the term as well.
Yeah, he wrecked it when Microsoft had to own up to owning X-Bone.com. He was like, I think the name is disrespectful, but if someone's going to own it should be us.
That's fair.
So
that's right.
And then send people to Bing when they want to make fun of you.
They should send it to the Bing search for Xbox One. Search results.
It still makes me super happy that is something they've done.
Yeah. Something that they had to do.
Yeah. I love it.
Any other news we're missing out on? They showed more footage of Deep Down, and apparently it has an Assassin's Creed style thing going on.
Yeah, I'm really curious.
Takes place in the future.
Yeah. You guys are seeing that at TGS?
Playable.
Yep.
I'll be very interested to hear what you have to say about it after.
I'm excited, though I'm skeptical, because at a glance it's there's a multiplayer focus. Oh, a bunch of people getting around in a circle to fight a dragon. Fuck, it might just be Monster Hunter. There's a really good chance this game is just Monster Hunter. It's made by Capcom.
It might just be
Monster Hunter.
I bet it's at least 30% Monster Hunter, just like Dragon's Dogma.
I also heard, and I don't know if either of you know, that Final Fantasy 15 might be at TGS.
No. So I asked.
Uh-huh.
The same trailer. They have a theater where they're going to be showing trailers. Okay. It's listed in that, and I had it confirmed to me that there's going to be no new information.
Okay, that's disappointing.
Yeah,
but not surprising.
And last year they did surprise people they announced Kingdom Hearts HD last year at stage thing. They didn't show anything, but it's possible some guy could say something, and there could be a tiny tidbit.
I feel like 2 years ago, that's when they announced Final Fantasy X HD. That was announced a while ago.
Yeah, they did
that
at the Sony keynote the first day.
Yeah, I remember I wrote that story up, and I think the headline was holy crap, Final Fantasy X HD collection coming, and it got so much traffic, and I really think it was because I started it with holy crap, because it was a genuine, whoa, reaction. Any other news anyone can remember?
Not surprisingly, do not expect Kingdom Hearts 3 for 15 years.
Did that happen?
It's not done by the same producer, right?
Yeah.
They're both directed by Tetsuya Nomura.
They're directed, and sorry. So
the other thing is, if one sucks, they're both going to suck.
They say that if Nomura can't focus on both at once, so 15 has to be done before he can really start working on
Kingdom Hearts. I don't think that's really news. I'm surprised that a lot of people at all found that shocking. It's
I guess they figured, honestly, he just shouldn't. I think he's too prideful. He's no, I direct the Kingdom Hearts. It's the third game. Hand it off to someone else and just run Final Fantasy. This Final Fantasy 15, the Final Fantasy brand needs his help more than Kingdom Hearts' brand needs his help.
An average, a middling to mediocre Kingdom Hearts 3 will be okay. If that happens with Final Fantasy 15, that series is fucked.
It's the nail in the coffin.
Yeah,
I don't know. I think 14 has some redeeming value,
but not
so
for.
Far.
But the with some exception, Final Fantasy Online franchise is totally different, and honestly, shouldn't be numbered. They shouldn't have made that part of the numbered franchise. I don't think. But I feel like the people that were burnt by 13 aren't going to play 14 either way, for the most part.
Hmm. As you said, different audiences.
Yeah, that's all. There's just different audiences. I think that's pretty much it for news. Oh, and Square talked about Final Fantasy X HD collection, and there's still no release date at all.
no release date. Yeah, that was the third TGS in a row they've shown it.
I guess that took a lot longer for them to HDify than
I've seen it at E3. It looks fine. It doesn't look. They're not doing as much to it as Nintendo did on like Ocarina of Time or Skyward or Wind Waker HD. They're just kind of making it an HD game.
Yeah.
It's really taking too long. Like they announced it, everyone was like, yeah, awesome. And it's like still not.
Everyone
done.
Expected it within 6 months. It's been
that's
3 years.
That's normally the turnaround from announcement to release of an HD game.
Well, eventually we'll be playing it on our PS Vita TVs, streaming it from our PlayStation 5. No real previews to talk about this week, so let's take a break and come back with a review of Puppeteer and Grand Theft Auto 5. Stay tuned. Welcome back to the third segment of Radio Radar. We've lost a Zach, but we've gained
a Lucas. How's it going?
Good, and I need to turn your mic down because Zach is quiet and far from the microphone, and you're quiet and close to the microphone. So I think we're good now. How you doing, Lucas?
Doing good.
Doing good? Doing busy with your world-famous article about adults-only games?
It is. It's no longer at half the site now.
Oh, well, then go fuck yourself.
25th.
Let's jump into the reviews, starting with Puppeteer.
Puppeteer. So let me tell you about Puppeteer. It's a great
game.
It's just a really great game. So this is a 2D platformer from Japan Studios.
Sony Japan Studios.
Sony Japan Studios. SCE, if you will. And it's basically...
There's no J in there.
It's SCE Japan Studio.
Get out of here, Greg.
Sony Computer Entertainment. Ever heard of it, Greg?
Ever heard of it?
Nerd. Anyways, Nerd. This PS3 exclusive platformer is, it's really, the word I use in the review is enchanting, because the way people felt about Journey graphics, I feel like, how they were like, oh, I've never seen anything like this. That's how I felt when I booted up Puppeteer. This game uses a stage presentation. Kind of like, I think Paper Mario does that too.
Yeah.
But this is all marionettes, wooden marionettes. And the attention to detail of, like, making the world feel like a set and having all the characters animate as you would imagine a puppet would is super cool. It's kind of like Pinocchio meets The Nightmare Before Christmas in terms of theme, because it's very earnest, but at the same time there's a lot of dark humor. A lot of characters die.
Does it remind you visually or anything of Little Big Planet? Because it sounds kind of like that.
So it looks like it at a glance, but once you're playing it, the feel of controlling Kutaro, who's the main character, it's not as floaty as Little Big Planet is. It's it feels kind of like Donkey Kong Country in that the controls are really tight. So he has like a similar role to the thing that Donkey Kong had. And you use a pair of scissors to cut through levels. And getting used to those is tricky, but once you do, it's a very cool angular way of platforming.
Awesome. All right, so what did you end up scoring, Puppeteer? And is it PS3 exclusive, or
yes,
is it Vita
PS3
also?
Exclusive. No Vita.
I'd love a Vita version of that game.
When I ever heard of it, I just thought it was a Vita game. Like, in my brain, it just had become a Vita game. I totally forgot it was a PS3
game. It'd step on Tearaway's toes, though. But yeah. I gave it a 4.5 out of 5. Great game.
Whoa.
I highly recommend it.
Awesome. I'm excited. And another game coming out this week is Grand Theft Auto 5, which I've put 35 to 38 hours into.
That's
and,
a lot of hours.
It's a really big game.
Really big.
It's a really big fucking game. So, obviously, so the whole thing, it takes place in San Andreas. It's a much different San Andreas than from Grand Theft Auto San Andreas. So in the PlayStation 2 game, you had the city of Los Santos, and then you had the kind of Vegas area, and then you had like a San Francisco kind of thing.
And the backwoods.
And the backwoods. This game gets rid of the Vegas, and it gets rid of the San Fran. You have an expanded Los Santos, which is Los Angeles, where you can go. There's the Hollywood Hills. There's Vespucci Beach, which is just
Venice Beach.
Santa Monica.
Yeah, you just go around, and it's just supposed to be south, the like southern parts of California. And you do go up, and you still have the giant sprawling hills that you had, and there's a lot to explore in the world above the city, and there's still a lot to do. I'm trying to remember the name of it because I messed it up earlier, and I don't want to mess it up again. It's Blaine County. I keep calling it Blair County, and I don't know why. Blaine County is the area where Trevor is from, one of the three protagonists of the game. So you have three characters you can change between: Trevor, Michael, and Franklin. They all fill very different roles in the story, and you can, once you get all three of them together, you can change between them on the fly. And it's just a really cool mechanic that actually, I'd say that mechanic is probably the thing that makes the game, in many ways, the reason I think it's such a good game. So in other GTAs, you had like a 40-hour long story of a character, and it was just all about escalation. So every person you worked for, you'd end up working for their boss, and then working for their boss, and working for their boss. And you eventually just started becoming a serial killer in every game, no matter what, because they needed to fill 40 hours of gameplay.
Mm-hmm.
But because each character in this only has like 10 hours of screen time, or maybe like 13 or 14 at most, they can have a much better evolution, where even though you're still killing lots of people, it never feels like your character, with exception to Trevor, who is a raging psychopath, is really just a ridiculous criminal. And you sort of know going in, like, these are bank robbers. They're robbing banks. It's not like, I felt like Nico tried so hard to be like, oh, I'm going to be different. So when you have to rob a bank, it felt really weird that you were just mowing down cops as part of the story.
Now, when you switch back and forth between them, you can do that on the fly, right?
Pretty much
whenever you want.
Yeah, there's a few times where it'll say, like, this character's laying low after a story thing.
Right.
But usually you can switch between
them. So how often does it force you to play as the other characters?
So you
play so long and then you have to be somebody else?
Only for story missions. If you want to just explore the world and do side missions as Trevor for 50 hours, there's mm-hmm. nothing. I mean, besides the fact that you'll run out of missions, there's nothing to stop you from just doing stuff.
But
as
like at the
character.
End of a story mission, it's gonna be like, and now we're gonna go see what so and so's doing.
Only if the story mission is. Very infrequently, but yes.
Okay.
Usually, you get to choose who you want to play as. I'll say of the 35 hours, there was maybe 5 or 6 hours where it said, like, all right, you can't play as this person for some reason. You have to play as this other person. And there was always a plot reason.
Okay.
It's always this person's injured, this person's missing, this person's busy doing this other thing that you probably were involved in having them do it anyway.
Sure.
But switching between them during missions is probably one of the coolest parts of the combat, because the gameplay is just really stellar to begin with. But you'll actually be able to, like, there's a mission where you have to it was the first one I saw back when I saw the game a few months ago, but you have to rob an armored car, and you have to drive a truck as Michael to block a road, and then when the armored car show up, you change to Franklin and you have to drive a garbage truck to smash the armored truck down. And then you have to fight off, like, waves, like, cops are coming to try to stop you. And, like, one character's on a roof, one's on the ground, and one's even higher on a higher roof with a rocket launcher. And you can switch between them during the fight to be able, like, oh, man, this guy's overwhelmed. Change to this guy with a sniper rifle and snipe some of the guys while the computer takes over the other character.
Can that character die? Like, say you're down to, like, is almost no health, and you're like, oh, quick, to the other character.
I never had it happen, but if a character is low on health, their name will start flashing, mm-hmm. letting you know that they're close to dying. So I think it can happen.
Okay. So they don't become, like, invincible AI.
No, no. There are times where I'm like, this person is stuck undercover and being shot at, so I'll switch to somebody else because I know the computer will I think the computer can probably take more damage than you could.
And be more accurate.
Probably not more accurate, because I notice they kind of run out in the open a little more, but they're never putting themselves into danger that you can't help them with.
Okay.
The world is huge. There's so many side missions. I'll say that some of the negatives are there are some times where you'll get, like, a bunch of quests in a row, or missions, I guess. Not really quests. Where, like, there's, like, one easy example is Franklin will get a job where he's helping paparazzi do these missions, and you kind of just help this guy in a bunch of missions, and I'm not going to spoil what becomes of that plot line, but that plot line just kind of fizzles out. And there's a few like that where you'll do a bunch of cool missions that feel like they're leading towards something, and then they just kind of end really without a cool climax, which is a shame because so much of the game does have really awesome explosive sections.
I do remember that being kind of a problem in 4 as well, where you'd meet a new friend and you would keep doing, like, you do 4 missions for them in a row, and then in the end they're just like, well, see ya. This is cool. Like,
yeah, this has that problem
keep
too.
Cool,
and it's super frustrating because it feels like so much, they obviously know what to do with these characters, and these characters often replace, like, there aren't as many totally outlandish characters as there were in 4. So the weird side characters sort of replace them. And the fact that their plots never really go that far is disappointing. But so much of the game is so good that it's hard to hold it against that.
Nice. Who was your favorite?
Of the three?
Yeah.
It changed a lot. I think I like Michael the most. Oh. He's the most relatable of the three.
Nice.
To me, at least. And
you grew up a rich kid?
No. But
right, he's the wealthy middle-aged man.
He is the wealthy middle-aged man. But
tennis practice every day.
Tennis practice,
smoke
yoga.
Smoke cigs by the pool.
On the
reg. Cigars.
On the reg.
A Swisher Sweet. Yeah.
I'll say that
they're
they
not
all...
not Swisher Sweets.
I like them all. There are going to be times where you just genuinely dislike some of the main characters, but it's always intentional. It's always you're supposed to think this guy is doing something mm-hmm. stupid. But yeah, I really liked it. It's definitely... I really think it's better than Grand Theft Auto 4, and that was one of my top games of the generation. And I definitely recommend everybody plays it.
I like how hard they're pushing that on Breaking Bad. Like, literally every commercial break is a Grand Theft Auto.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's lots of meth references in the game, so no, it works out well.
Perfect.
Did you end up on a score, or is that still TBD?
I don't know. You read my review. What do you think?
I don't know. That's up to you, man.
Well,
you
looking
have,
it on
you'll
the
have
site,
to look at it on the site. The
it's a mystery.
To know for sure.
You'll know before we do.
Hopefully by Monday. Hopefully by Monday I'll know. So, yeah, that's it for the review segment. Check out the reviews. We also have some other really cool videos for Grand Theft Auto on the site.
Oh, yeah.
And guides on how to find all of the unlockables will be appearing on the site over the next
few
weeks.
That's going to be a hot ticket guide.
And hopefully. Very soon there will be a Wind Waker review as well. Just keep your eyes open.
Yeah, it's
and our
out
final
soon.
Review of Final Fantasy 14. It goes up on Monday, too.
Monday?
Really? Yeah. And nice. September is the slow month. October is when it's going to get wild.
Yeah, those are the... I feel like after Grand Theft Auto, aren't there really no big games?
Armored Core Verdict Day.
Woo. So that's a no.
Some sports games.
Well, yeah. So it's called Pokemon. You ever heard of it?
Pokemon's the 12th of October, so...
Well,
almost
yeah, once,
a month.
Once the 12th rolls around, then things are kicking off for reals.
Yeah.
It's cray.
I'm hoping... I can't wait to start up X and Y. Oh, boy.
That was real exciting. Ooh,
boy. All right, I need everyone to be quiet and listen to something real quick.
Take my advice, do as I say, save a little money for a rainy day.
What you buying?
Thank you. I don't
what
have the audio
are
for this one.
Buying.
What are you?
What are you going to buy? Here are some options for things that you could, if you want to, buy. Splinter Cell Blacklist is $50 for PS3 and Xbox 360 on Amazon. You can get The Last of Us for $44 via eBay through Newegg. That's something that's written down on this paper.
That's a weird,
I have
series
no
very
convoluted
maybe
way
it's
about
both.
It.
Maybe it's.
I think Newegg has an eBay shop.
Okay. Yes.
If you pre-order the Grand Theft Auto 5 and Last of Us PlayStation 3 500 gigabyte console through Shop 2, it is £199, and this is for the UK only.
you know, have you seen those commercials for GTA 5? Like Sony is clearly like. They've done some favors or something to get only the PlayStation logo is big on it. Like, if you were a regular dum-dum out there in the world, you'd think it was still a PlayStation exclusive.
I did
well,
not know this.
Good thing our listeners are irregular dum-dums.
Yeah.
And Nino Kuni is $20 through Best Buy. If that's online, I'm going to buy that right after this episode.
Nice.
Xbox Live 12-month Gold Messenger Starter Pack. I said all those words. 12-month membership, 400 points, chat pad and headset for $50. Those will be really good for the next month and a half until you get your new consoles. Halo 4 is $20 through Best Buy. Splinter Cell is also available on the Wii U for that same $50 price. And a bunch of PC stuff. You got a Humble Bundle with Trine 2, The Complete Story.
What are you trying to do to me?
I'm trying to get you to buy Mark of the Ninja, Eats Munchies Beta, Brutal Legend.
Heyo.
And if you want, if you donate enough, you get the FTL and Fez.
Yeah.
FTL soundtrack and Fez. And that's all Humble
FTL
Bundle.
FTL game and soundtrack.
Yes. There's a retro shooters bundle with a bunch of retro shooters.
Really?
Serious Sam HD, the first encounter. Serious Sam HD, the second encounter.
Those are really
Shadow
good
Warrior.
Ones. Ooh.
Classic Redux.
Hello.
3D, Duke Nukem 3D Megaton Edition.
Right on.
And Hard Reset Extended Edition and System Shock 2. Also available through the Humble Bundle.
That is not
There's
bad at all.
There's a Hitman Bundle on Amazon where you get, original Hitman, Hitman 2, Hitman Blood Money, and Hitman Absolution for $9 through Amazon.
For all of them?
All of them!
Dang, girl. Wow.
And Borderlands 2 download for $12 through Stack Social.
Jesus.
Stack Social.
Stack Social. What a concept.
Boy, it almost Stack sounds like there are benefits to being late to the party for games.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
It's called a feature on GamesRadar.com.
Oh, oh. All right. That's cool. And now it's time to end the show. Just kidding. Oh, yeah.
Nice purr into my ears.
I thought it was actually quite offensive. That sound.
Oh, wait, you want me to pour
offensive.
Into your ears?
It made you feel uncomfortable.
Oh, I hate that noise.
Yeah. Well, now you just think of abscesses draining.
Oh, just festering wounds getting cleaned to that sound.
Fester's Quest?
Speaking of festering wounds, last week's question of the week. What unlockable did you try really hard to get?
A festering wound on my arm.
In your ear.
You achieved it.
Drop.
So we got some really good answers.
Yeah.
Try really hard to get
bunions.
Someone 666 said the hardest unlockable I ever got was getting Mew in Super Smash Bros. Melee. I played for hours and hours and never got this trophy.
Oh, the trophy.
Yeah.
I remember. Mew has to show up and you have to...
You got to throw a lot of Pokeballs.
Don't you have to take a... Does it just show up and then you get her? Or do you have to do something else?
Yeah, okay. Shows up and then the end of the thing, it goes like, hey, Mew showed up. Boom, you got it.
Yeah.
No Girls I Want a Jetpack said...
I have a feeling there'd be a comma there if available.
I worked really hard to find Pokemon Green version in my red version of the game. My brother told me about the green game, so I thought it had to be in there somewhere.
That's sad.
Sketch Layer Josh says, the most frustrating unlockable experience came during The Legend of Zelda Majora's Mask. In order to unlock the Fierce Deity Mask, the one that turns Link into hella badass modes that fires sword lasers, you had to complete a level where you turn into a Gorn, roll into a ball, and navigate a series of narrow paths, all while in a time limit. I tried the stage over and over for literally days, covering up my Nintendo power or covering up the power light on my N64 so my parents wouldn't know I was leaving the system on. I kept falling off the walkway over and over again when I tried to go around corners. I couldn't believe Nintendo would make it so frustrating.
Yeah.
And after 3 days, I discovered the trick to it.
And there's more to this story.
Turns out, you just have to hold the analog stick forward. If you hold it forward, you'll automatically bounce around corners, and you don't have to worry
really
about navigating the narrow walkway. Just hold the stick forward for about a minute, and bam, you're done. It's one of the easiest challenges in the game if you know how it's done.
That's heartbreaking.
Let's see. Darth Ender X getting the stealth camouflage in Metal Gear Solid 3. In that game, you basically had to find a hidden frog in each of the game screens, shoot at them throughout the game. Even when the guide telling me where they were, it was still a pain in the ass because you eventually get onto a motorcycle sidecar segment that still has frogs in them.
Oh my
where you
God.
Have to shoot them as you drive around. There's one just sitting on the top of one of 100 rocks or so that you go flying past at 60 miles per hour that you have to tag along the way while still fighting off enemies. A lot of quitting and loading the last checkpoint on that one. And the winner...
That's pretty cruel.
That is cruel. The winner this week is Rod the Master. Had a pretty good story. Thank you. Says, there was an achievement in Rock Band 2 called Iron Bladder, which requires a player and his band to complete the endless set list.
That's
84 tracks without failing a song or hitting the pause button. So at a friend's birthday party, three of us decided to give it a try. We prepared, ate, used the restroom, and we were ready to go. Now, throughout the three of us traded instruments around so in order to avoid getting winded. So 80 songs in for the Steely Dan song... how do you spell it?
Bodhisattva.
I was playing bass, and I was feeling a little cocky. I started imitating a rifle with the guitar, much like Iron Maiden's bassist Steve Harris, and my finger slipped onto the pause button. Needless to say, the achievement was void, and all the effort spent to get to that point was completely useless. My friends did not talk to me for a while, and we never tried again. Screw that achievement.
Rod the Master, I think you'll now join Greg Henniger and the Friendless Club. because holy shit, I would never be your friend again if you did that to me. 80 songs and you screwed it up for everyone.
So he's just fucking rocking on to this song.
I hope this brings back horrible memories for you and you can't sleep at night.
Firing his guitar like a rifle.
And all of a sudden.
Oh.
But nice. Since you don't have any friends anymore, you win something. So contact Greg H. at GamesRadar.com, and I'll get you. Maybe we've got some friends in the pile that we can help you out with.
I suspect not, but
well, I have
you
like
can
a plushie that you can.
We are
hold
talking about Greg's desk, after all.
There's yeah.
What's the name
friends.
Of that song?
Devoid of friends.
Bodavista, something like that.
Yeah.
Bodhisattva. I don't know how to pronounce that.
Sure, it's not sativa.
Yeah. Yeah. Wait, you yeah, read that and you right. tell me.
Is this a pun that no one but Lucas gets?
I mean,
or does Lucas not get
it's
it?
Barely
either?
A pun.
It's not a.
Is that how you say that, Henry? Or are you making a joke?
I am making a joke.
Making it funny. It's called.
What is
humor,
the joke,
Ryan?
You guys don't know what sativa is?
I know what sativa is.
Is that a sure. green tea? A flavor of green tea?
That's close.
It's kind of green.
I don't get it. What is it?
It's a marijuana.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's a strain.
Oh.
It's a
what's
type.
The other one?
Stickiest of the
it's
icky or the stikiest of the icky.
I forget what the other one is. I like the name. I just like the word sativa.
Sativa is also a form of crack cocaine.
Right?
You can
untrue.
Smoke with your
there's
nose.
There's two. No, there's indica. No,
yeah, indica. That's
indica and sativa. Sativa is yeah. a
indica
sleepy one.
Indica prophecy.
Oh, fuck you. Wow. It's the dumbest thing said on this podcast, and we say nothing but dumb things.
New question of the week.
What's your favorite
sativa?
Kind of sativa? Yeah.
Sativa or indica?
Maui, Wowie.
No, bubblegum off kush. Of... tell me if this is not a good one or you don't have answers for it. But going off of Lucas's wild success with adults-only games
oh.
article, have you ever played an adults-only game?
I mean, actually, let's just... Have you played a game that you've been ashamed to be caught playing?
Have we already done
yeah.
that?
Yeah. I'm just thinking because most people are just going to be like, no.
What yeah, about, no. what's your first M-rated game?
Oh, yeah, that'd be
all
a good
right.
one.
I think we did that. Pretty sure we did that.
God dang it. I'm Mac Daddy. I had a funny AO-rated game story, too.
You can tell it either way.
I think you should tell it.
Just tell the story, then we'll go to the question.
Well,
of the week.
So I did play that game Singles that was on your list.
Really?
I actually did. Yeah, it was.
Flirt Up Your Life.
Well, I was going around the internet, and I was like, I'll play for free for an hour. And at the time, I was so into Sims, I was like, well, I want to take Sims sex to the next level and see how you can get these characters in an AO game to have sex. And so
sure.
I played it. But, like, the secret, that's why they give you the hour free on that game is because, so, like, I immediately picked my character.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, all right, she'll walk in the room naked, and then the guy will want to have sex
Whoa.
With her. And so she walks in the room naked, and then she has a very normal reaction of, like, well, I'm naked. And she runs back to her bedroom and puts on clothes. And I realize, like, oh, these are sim characters, so they're acting, like, they have to get to know each other. I still have to do the whole romance
thing. Human beings.
It'll take way more than an hour to get them to fall in love first before they hook up. And so.
And now,
I quit it.
You're basically trying to speed
so
run
you're basically
sex.
Good forever.
But the problem also with that game, I don't know why even got an AO rating, because like even when they were naked, they still had like a fig leaf over their genitals. Like,
yeah, the ESRB is... They
just don't like simulated
touchy.
Sex.
Yeah, it's like
simulated sex of any kind.
Your nose, nerds.
Yeah, what a bunch of nerds.
How about we can just do a simple thing? I'm sure they did it on Talk Radar, but we haven't done it. Just what's your? Do you have any fun GTA memories of any kind?
All right.
Considering that game is coming out this
week. I'll start, actually. I'm not a particularly big fan of GTA games, just because I tend to get bored very quickly while playing them. The very first one I ever played was GTA 3, and this was during the Christmas of, I don't know, a Christmas, when my parents bought me my PlayStation 2, and I was very excited because, hey, I finally got a PS2 and I've been wanting one for a while. The only shitty part was they didn't buy me any games, so I had the console and nothing to play with it on Christmas Day, and I was very upset,
on
but luckily,
Christmas Day,
they hire a bunch of non-religious people at... the video rental stores and are open on Christmas.
Oh.
And so I went and I rented Grand Theft Auto 3 and I spent the next, I don't know, week straight driving around picking up hookers, which was very exciting for me at the time as a 13, 14-year-old
kid. Right after you went to the
video store. Yeah, we drove away home.
We drove around in rural Michigan picking up hookers.
Just holding the game in your hand like changed you. Like, all right, let's stop for some hookers.
Power coursed.
And, yeah, it was a very, very fun holiday week for me.
I will I'll go. My first, I was probably 10. And went over my cousin's house, and maybe I was a little older, but it was soon after GTA 1 was released, and I played it on his computer, and my mom walked in as I was saying, "Die, copper, die," killing cops, and I remember she just looked at me and just shook her head in just sheer disappointment, and she's like, "I don't even care," and then left the room, and we never spoke of it.
Or to each other ever again.
No, it was the last time. If you're listening, Mom, you know my address.
Greg, clearly you have no story.
No, I mean, mine would probably be the one of those Hare Krishna characters in Grand Theft Auto.
A sad, storyless, friendless person. Just kidding, that was mean.
I have friends, damn it.
I know.
They all just live in another area. That's fine. You guys wouldn't know them.
They live in Canada.
I talk to them sometimes, so there's nobody around.
But the Hare Krishnas would always like run around in a straight line, and I tried to come up with the most clever ways of killing them. My favorite one
I thought
was
they were joggers, and I was like, I killed a bunch of joggers, and when I found out they were religious people, I'm just like, oh, I feel kind of weird now.
I always felt a little bit bad, because if you killed all of them but one, he would still just go sprinting away, and I felt like I needed to go hunt him down. I felt like the school bus was the best way to take him out, because mm-hmm. they'd be in a line, so the school bus
wide
would just
body.
Like, run him over. That's the only thing I remember from GTA. Because I had no friends.
Well, I do remember the first time when I unlocked the tank in GTA 3 and, like, well, really just got all the cheats for GTA 3 and just went nuts with them.
Yep.
But the tank was the best one of just, like, driving down the street, blowing up every car in my way. And then I realized, and then someone told me, like, you know, if you shoot behind you, you go faster. I was like, oh, that makes sense. All right. I was just running over cop cars way faster because the tank shot was going like rocket fuel behind me.
I totally forgot about that.
That's awesome.
You could, like, use ramps and stuff, right?
When yeah.
Mine is, it's kind of GTA related. So
I'd hope so.
It's kind of like the blending of your story, Ryan, and your story, Coop, in that... There I was playing my brand new PS2, Jak and Daxter, not GTA. But my cousin was playing GTA 2 on my computer in the same room. And my grandma said, we only had one computer in the house at the time, she wanted to play Spider Solitaire. So she was standing behind my cousin, who's playing Grand Theft Auto 2, getting real annoyed, and like your mother, Coop, very, I guess, disappointed in the on-screen violence she was witnessing.
I thought you were going to say, we only had one grandmother in my house at the time. I thought it was really funny.
Usually I had five. This time there was just the one. But the funniest part is when I was stuck on a part in Jak and Daxter, and I finally got the precursor orb, or whatever they were called. And I told my cousin, yes, I did it. I finally got it. My grandma was so annoyed, she just turned and looked at me and said, well, whoopee for you.
And I like the reason that she's so bitter is because she wanted to play a game.
Yeah.
It wasn't even like, you kids are sitting around playing games all the time. It's like, grandma gets to
get
her
off.
Fix.
I
want
to play Spider Solitaire.
Well, whoopee for you.
She can fucking play Spider. Just go buy a regular pack of cards. You can play. I can't go to run around with a gun killing people.
You can just grab
a deck of cards and play your own Spider Solitaire, Grams.
The Jak on those cards won't wink at you. So.
She really liked that.
I hate to say Lucas, but your grandma sounds like a nerd.
Wow. She's dead, by the way, Ryan. Thanks. Rest in peace, Grandma.
So that's it for the for Radio Radar episode 55. Thank you for joining us.
55!
Yeah. Man, we missed that. We should have said...
Damn it. I'm glad
that was it on Talk Radio.
Well, we did it. Yeah. We did it for this one.
55!
And we'll talk to you later this week. Thank you.
55!
guards and stuff, and I'm going to hit an explosion noise, and hopefully no one's going to go to death.
That was an explosion noise?
I did it. Alright, so what is the... Proxy Tomagrino, what is the question we actually have to...
Sorry.
We just pointed at
just
each
anyone.
Other.
Anyone, just grab one from the middle
no,
of that
No, I got
stack.
It, I got
there
it.
There we go, we got it.
The question is, which conveys a more important message? I tried to do that in a Tom voice.
I'm going to play...
Tomagrino!
I'm going to play two cards at the same time.
Not,
okay.
Not fair.
Missile Command and Metal Gear Solid. Message is, nukes fucking suck.
All right. Grand Theft Auto 3. Killing people is bad and nothing will happen if you do it. You can run away from everything.
I have Scrabulous for Facebook. The power of copyright is powerless.
Ooh, I like it.
Jeez. Mine is Fez. Nothing means anything.
Wasn't yours Fez last week?
No.
Somebody's with Fez.
What about yours?
Mine's Burnout. If you drive fast, you can crash in awesome ways. There you go. Is your car made out of plate glass?
Don't judge my car!